So too, you also must be prepared. After seeing all the folks shopping on Friday, Black Friday, the line spoken by Jesus in today's gospel would seem extremely apropos today. We've begun the so-called holiday season, and the next 4 weeks will be a mad rush to shop, cook, travel, and party, all in order, as people would think, to prepare for Christmas. But of course, all this is strictly the secular or worldly perspective of preparing for Christmas, the holiday season. At best, it sees Christmas as really all about sentimentalism, remembering good feelings of Christmas past, sometimes with a quasi-religious tone, with vague notions about and warm feelings about the baby Jesus and peace and goodwill among men. At best, that's the secular notion. Or worse, it sees Christmas as all about rank materialism and escapism, buying, getting, and using things to dull the pain of the rest of the year. All this is often referred to as the joy of Christmas. But again, at best, this is a mere reflection of the real joy of Christmas, and at worst, it's merely a shadow of that joy, and sometimes a very, very dark shadow. Because the joy of Christmas radiates from the baby Jesus, and not as the object of mere sentimentality and warm feelings, but rather as Jesus as the personification in the flesh of God Himself. As St. John tells us, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him might not perish, but have eternal life, that the world might be saved through Him." And so, He would become the one of whom Isaiah would prophesy, "He was wounded for our transgressions. Upon Him was the chastisement that made us whole. He was bruised for our iniquities, and with His stripes we are healed." Because we are sinners, He came to die on the cross to save us from our sins. Because we failed to love Him and each other the way we should, and because He loved us so much, He was born to die for us. And all this began when He came to us as the tiny baby Jesus. This is the love of Christmas, and it's truly breathtaking. And it is the true source of the true joy of Christmas. Now, some might say, "Father, that's very depressing. Talk of sin and death and all that. That's not what the Christmas season is about." Well, it's not Christmas season yet, so we don't have to worry about that, do we? It's the Advent season. But it's not depressing, really, because it's only when we recognize that we're sinners and the depth and breadth of our own sins that we can realize the depth and breadth of the love that God has for us, that He would do this for us, the love that is compacted and contained amazingly in the body of the babe born in Bethlehem. It's only when we open our heart to the sorrow for our offenses against His love that we can feel the immensity of the joy of being forgiven and of living life surrounded and immersed in this great love. From the depths of our sin to the heights of His love, this is what the birth of the baby Jesus brings us. And also the personification of this love in the baby Jesus. This God of love who, having saved us by dying for us, seeks now to have a personal relationship with each one of us, to be our true friend and brother, not for one day or for a month, but for every single moment of our lives here on earth and forever in heaven. All this is the real joy of Christmas. And Jesus tells us, he reminds us today, so too, you must be prepared. Christians must prepare for Christmas joy, but not by shopping and those things, but by first reflecting on our sins, confessing them, and repenting, changing. How can we rejoice in embracing the baby Jesus if we continue to embrace the sins that he was born to die for? But again, we don't mire ourselves in despair or sadness, but rather we move from sin to love and from sorrow to joy, and we understand and appreciate and experience joy in a whole new way. Like a man thirsting in the desert discovers a whole new appreciation for the sweet taste of a simple cup of water. And what we have here is so much more than water. And so we do penance in Advent. Not the kind of penance, the heavy penances we do in Lent, but we should do some small penances to remind us of our sins and our need to place God above all things. I always say the simplest way to understand penance is, I love God more than I love a piece of chocolate. And when you do that, it's such a simple thing. Now, this can be hard to do during Advent because there's so many good things around us. All the cooking and the cookies, the candy, the gifts, the parties, there's so many good things. And so it's hard to make sacrifices. I know for myself, I give up sweets during Advent. But I can't do it very strictly. For example, when you give me, people bake cookies for me all the time during Advent. And I can't just go and, you know, throw them away. And I can't just put them all in the refrigerator. I have to eat them. I have to eat at least one. It wouldn't be charitable if I didn't. I'm being serious here. But I can only eat one. And what that does then, it really makes this really the best time to do penance, because even the smallest sacrifices we make take on a certain heroic proportion, because it's hard to give up those simple things that sort of everyone expects us to do. And since sin is a lack or a failure to love God and our neighbor, Advent should also be a time of love, of charity, and doing good works. Thankfully, the secular celebration around us can sometimes encourage this, as most of society embraces the idea of charity during the holidays. And I use the term holidays as a secular term. We celebrate holy days, right? Not holidays. Unfortunately, the secular celebration can also tempt us away from this idea of charity because it simultaneously encourages kindness, but then also selfishness. Think, for example, of all the advertising that is geared completely to encouraging parents on the one hand to give, to buy expensive gifts for their children. So the idea of giving, but then it encourages the children to want those gifts and to expect those gifts and demand those gifts. And so the idea of selfishness in the same commercial. So don't give gifts or give to charity because everyone else is or because it's expected. Give because you love your neighbor, even if he's a complete stranger. And give because you love Jesus and see his face in the face of those in need. But if you really want to experience and prepare to experience the true joy of Christmas, one thing remains. Christ came to us in the flesh so that he can personally die for you and for your personal sins. Because he loves you as a unique individual person. Not just as the church out there, not just those people down there on earth, but you. How do you find the joy of living with Christ as your constant personal friend and brother if you don't talk to him? And if you don't listen to him? So Advent has to be a time of prayer. Because that's all prayer is listening and talking to God or to his angels and saints. So in Advent, take time every day to pray. And if you already do take time every day to pray, then pray a little bit more, pray a little bit better a little bit more focused. I especially encourage you to pray by reading and meditating on Scripture, especially the first chapters of the four Gospels, where they talk about the beginnings of Jesus. Or read holy books or a good biography of a saint. Most especially, pray the rosary during Advent, particularly meditating on the joyful mysteries. Pray it alone or pray it with your family, pray it with your husband or wife, pray it with your friends, pray it with your boyfriend or girlfriend. And even better than that, come to Mass during Advent, during the weekday, when you don't have to come. Make a resolve to come at least once during the week, or maybe even, if you can, every day of the week. It'll transform Advent and really make Advent something brand new and beautiful. Now, all of this might lead you to think that I think that all the shopping for gifts and the gifts themselves and the decorations and all the parties and all these things that we'll find in the next 4 weeks are somehow bad, or at least inappropriate for Advent. You'll notice we don't do that in the church, because that's not what we're doing here. But we will do it outside, and we do it at your home. Decorate your homes, do shopping, all those stuff. Go to parties. It's true that those things can tend to conflict with the preparation necessary for Advent and a truly Christian celebration of Christmas. But on the other hand, they can be helpful too if we remember two important things. First, the celebration that goes on around us leading up to Christmas has truly Christian origins and continues at least to reflect Christian culture and doctrine. So to the extent we keep all this in that context of the true meaning of Advent and Christmas, then all these things that we, the externals of these days, can be a good and holy thing. So if we remember, for example, that the evergreen Christmas tree, in its greenness, and the fact that it just doesn't die, is a sign of the tree of life. That's where we get it. It's the tree of life that's in paradise, in Genesis chapter 2 and 3. And will be in heaven, and the tree of life that is the cross. And if we see the lights on the tree as the light of Christ, or the lights of the saints, the light of Christ shining through the saints in heaven, the ornaments on the tree is symbolic of all the people, all those who love Jesus, who celebrate Christmas. Or if we remember Christmas gift giving as being reflective of the gift that God gives us, the gift of Christmas, of the baby Jesus, or the gifts of the Magi to the baby Jesus, and so our gift of ourselves to Jesus on his birthday at Christmas, and so on. If we remember all this and teach our children all this, then all these can be true signs of Christmas, and they can be good and helpful and holy in our preparation during Advent. But most of all, this external celebration still serves to bring the world's attention to Jesus Christ, even if only superficially. It's not enough, but it's something. In today's second reading, St. Paul tells us, let us conduct ourselves properly, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in promiscuity and lust, not in rivalry and jealousy. Close quote. Now, if you're honest with yourself and you think about this, how many of our so-called Christmas parties might he be describing? Whether an office party or the party of friends coming back from school getting together, or even the innocent parties of families and even friends from the church. Even the simple act of exchanging gifts can so easily turn into the occasion of what Paul says is rivalry and jealousy. You know, little children, but adults do this too. That you gave a better gift to them than to me. Rivalry, jealousy. But imagine if we approached every Christmas party as Christians on a mission sent by God to that party. Think about it. All these people getting together, seeking to discover the joy of Christmas. Looking for it in the wrong way, but seeking the joy of Christmas. What if instead of drinking too much, you set a good example by your temperance? Or instead of taking part in gossip or off-color conversations, you engage in a wholesome exchange of ideas and true wit? What if you simply showed the love of Christ by being kind and attentive to that person at the party that everyone else is avoiding? What if you tried in some way to even talk about Jesus himself to those who seemed open to listening? You have an excuse, right? It's a Christmas party. For example, you can do something as simple as share how much you enjoy going to Christmas Mass, how that is really what Christmas is about to you, and then invite people to go with you. It's not that hard. And even in the simpler events of the season, give your children the game they ask for at Christmas, but also give them a Bible or a rosary or a crucifix or a book about a great saint. Or instead of asking for another piece of jewelry that you can put in your box and wear once a year, once every couple years, maybe ask your husband to pray the rosary with you during Advent. And when you think someone else gets a better gift than you did, don't be jealous. Be happy for them and be thankful for what you got. So too, you must be prepared. As we begin this holy season of Advent, let's not get all caught up in the externals, especially in materialism and vain sentimentality. Don't be tempted by the false joys of the world. Rather, let your heart be open and your life be open to focus on the true joy of Christmas and spend time and effort preparing to experience and celebrate that joy. Let Advent be a time of remembering the awesome love of God, who was born as a tiny baby so that he could grow up to die for our sins and to save us so we could share in his life. Let Advent be a time of penance, charity, and prayer, and a time of sharing the true joy of Christmas with those around us by living the life of love that Jesus calls us to, and by telling everyone we meet about the source of our joy, the magnificent love of God made flesh in the person of the tiny baby, Jesus. Praise be Jesus Christ. Amen.